Okay, we're going to begin here on the bottom of Samach Bet, Amud Bet, four lines up from the bottom, Tanya. We have a brayto. Chayrim omrim, higdim mulim la'arelim kasher. Arelim l'mulim pasul. We have a brayto that says when you mix those that have a brit milah together with those that do not have a brit milah, the din is not always the same. Depends on which one you have the machshava for first. If you have mulim before arelim, if you have those that are mahul come before those that are arelim, then it's fine. It's kasher. The other way around, if you mention the arelim first, and then the mulim, then those that have a brit milah, pasul. Mara asks right away, Maishta, what's the difference? Mulin arelim de kasher. Why are the mixture of having those that are with the brit milah together, those that are arelim, and we say that that is kasher? The kula or la bainan, because we have from the pasuk before that we've learned, b'chol arel lo yochal bo. So ad shiyu kula or la, that you're only problematic when everyone is an or la. So if that's the reasoning behind it, and that's why it's okay over here, because the lekka, you don't have that. Arelim the mulim, nami. In the instance where the arelim come from the mulim, kula or la bainan b'lekka, they have the same situation, which is that you require b'chol arel lo yochal bo, they have to be all arelim, and you don't have a full set of arelim here. So why is there a difference between these two cases? Lema kasavar acherim, let us say that the acherim, meaning the authors of this braita, believe, eina l'shchita elu basuf. Shchita only applies at the end, ukit di rova. Like rova, the position of rova, amarova adayin hi machloket. It is still a machloket. Therefore, I'll come back, we'll explain what that means, but therefore, hikti mulim na'arelim, if he put mulim before arelim, mulim chayle, arelim lo chayle. Because at this point, shchita has a momentary lapse and shchita's gone, because ain the shchita ele basof. It's a machloket, whether yesh the shchita mitchila batsof, shchita is a process, that in cutting the two simanim to do shchita, it's all part of the Maisa Shchita. So there's one opinion that means that as long as you're engaged from beginning to end, that is part of Shchita. There's another opinion that there's only Shchita Basof, that everything else is the preparation, that last cut that you make, that brings you over to Rov Shnei Simanim, that's what makes the Shchita. That moment there's a Shchita. So based on the opinion that Ein Shchita Ela Basof, Shchita only applies at the end, then we have a moment in time where everything takes effect. An assumption of the Gemara being that that's when you start to have your machshava. You have your machshava at that moment when the shchita takes effect. That's when you have your machshava. Well, there's only sufficient time to have one machshava because it's so short. It happens in a moment. So in the case where you had the mulim before the arelim, then the mulim chayle, arelim lo chayle. Then the only thing to take effect is the mulim because that's what happened at that moment when shchita took place. Hikdim arelim the mulim. On the other hand, if it's the other way around, and the arelim precede the mulim, arelim chayle, mulim lo chayle. Then the arel, or the machshavat arel, takes effect. That of the mulim doesn't take effect because it's too late. There's only that moment in time when the shchita takes place. You only have one machshava, so whatever the first machshava is, that's what you have because there's nothing else for you to have.
Unless you say when he thought it.
Right, you would have thought. The simpler way to understand is that, but the Gemara doesn't understand it. The Gemara understands that he starts having his machshava when the shchita is effective. Not that he starts the machshava and then when he reaches that moment in time where the shchita over, that's his last thought. Right? That's maybe the simpler way you would have thought the Gemara has, but it doesn't read that way. It reads that the moment where you start your machshava is the time that that threshold is reached. Based on that, the first thought you have is only one that is relevant. Now, what does it mean here that in a shchita lebesof, like Rava, because Rava says it's a dying heat machloket, we already mentioned a number of times this machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Meir says tfos lashon rishon. Rabbi Meir thinks that you go after the first thing that you say. And Rabbi Yossi who says af bigmar dvarav adam nitpas, that we look at the entire statement of the individual. So we know this machloka, the machloka from the Gemara and Tmura, by a person who says arezu tmurat shlamim tmurat ola or tmurat ola tmurat shlamim, then which one is effective? Rabbi Meir says it's the first one that you say is effective. The Yossi says, no, they're both effective. And they both take hold on the animal. You sell it, and you sell it half and half. So then, Ibai Lehu, they had a question. Amar chetzi ola v'chetzi shlamim. The president says, I want this to be half an ola and half a shlamim. What is Rabbi Meir's position in that case? Does Rabbi Meir now finally agree to Rabbi Yossi? Because your expression is saying, I want it to be half an olah, half a shlamim. So by saying a half, you're indicating up front that your first statement is not an entire statement. So I say half olah, half shlamim. That means that the whole statement is what I want to take place. So is he going to agree to Rabbi Yossi or there or not? Abaye says he agrees to Rabbi Yossi in that case. Rabbi says, adayin hi machloket. It's still a machloket. Because there are two ways to view Rabbi Meir's opinion. One way to view Rabbi Meir's opinion, which we've mentioned before, which is his first statement is what takes effect. Afterwards, the second statement is nimlach. He changed his mind. So since he changed his mind, he can't change his mind after the first statement that he made, and therefore it's ineffective, because changing your mind is not something that matters. Well, if that's the case, then over here, when he said chatziya ola, chatziya shlamim, it should take effect, because he didn't change his mind. From the moment he started to speak, he already knew that he was going to make the second statement because he said half ola, half shlamim. The whole thing together is a single statement. And he should agree to Rabbi Yossi. The other possibility to view in Rabbi Meir is that your first statement takes effect, but then you try to have your second statement take effect, and it's ineffective, which means that you say that harezu tumrat ola, and now the animal turns into a tumrat ola. Then you say, haray, tumrat shlamim, there's no room for it to work because you already made it into a tumrat ola. If that's the case, it also won't work over here. Because he begins with chatzi ola. Right, it spreads. You say that it's half an ola, you can't have an animal be half an ola. It automatically comes a full ola. Then you go say chatzi shlamim, nothing left for it to do, it can't work. So that is the machlok between Abaye and Rava. So does Rabbi Meir agree, or does he not agree? Do we say the reason behind Rabbi Meir is because he is regretting his first statement? So once the olah takes effect, you can't get rid of it. But if he says chetzi, chetzi, it's okay because he already gave you indication that he's not regretting it. He had this up front. That's what he had in mind in front. Or maybe since the kedusha of the olah already took effect, you can't have the kedusha shlamim take effect. And so here Abaye says Rabbi Meir is mudet Rabbi Yossi. And Rava says adayin hi machloket. So that's the statement over here of Rava, which is adayin hi machloket. It's still machloket between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. There, Rava poses a question to Abaye. And Rava says to Abaye, me'ashochet zevach, lechol kezayit b'chutz, ukezayit l'machar. Someone does shechita on an animal to eat kezayit b'chutz, outside, meaning that chutz l'mpomo, and to eat a kezayit l'machar, tomorrow. And there, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon have a machloket. It's a machloket from the Gemara in Zvachim. So that Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Meir, which is Tvos Lashon Rishon, and therefore, Kol Shemachshevet Zman, Kodom Machshevet Makom, Pigu, V'chayivin Alav Karet, Lo Shna Bavodachat, Lo Shna B'shtei Avodot. There is a principle there. Rabbi Yehuda believes that if the first machshava you have is Pigu, which is Chutz L'Zmano, that you have a machshava of the time or outside the time frame in which you're allowed to eat it, then you have pigul. If your first machshava is about mekomo, outside of the makom, then it's problematic. The Chachamim believe that as soon as you have another machshavet psul, you ruin everything. But you have to have machshavet chutz lizmano and nothing else. If you have a machshavet psul, whether it's before or whether it's afterwards, it's problematic. But Rabbi Yehuda believes that it depends on which machshava you have first. Do you have the machshava of chutz lizmano first? Or if you have the machshava of chutz l'mekomo, whatever you have first, that's what dictates. Therefore, kol shemachshavet zman kadman machshavet makom. As long as the machshavet zman comes before the machshavet makom, pigu b'chayvin alav karet, because tfos lashon rishon. As long as the machshavet zman was first, that's the only thing that matters. That's what governs. And the rabbanim believe, like Rabbi Yossi, that af b'gmar d'varav adam nitpas. And therefore, in one of Oda, it's a mixture of a machshava of Chutzlim Mano and Chutzlim Komo. Chachamim requires, we mentioned before, that there be no other psul here. And the fact that you mentioned Chutzlim Komo as well as Chutzlim Mano ruins it for you. Alma. What we conclude from here is Man Deitle Tfos Lashon Rishon Afilu Dechatzain Itle. That one who holds of Tfos Lashon Rishon, that applies even to a half. Because over here, he has a Chazayit Chutzlim Komo and Chazayit Chutzlim Mano, or the other way around, Chazayit Chutzlim Mano, Chazayit Chutzlim Komo, that's two halves of a thought. He's having it in a single avoda, and one half of the avoda he's thinking about the Chazayit of Chutzlim Mano, and the other half he's having a Chazayit Chutzlim Komo. Or as Rashi adds, this is one Chazayit out of many Chazaitim within the animal. So here you have a portion of an item, and yet, over there we say it's post lashon rishon. The first lashon takes effect. So now, that's the question that Rava poses to Abaye. According to Abaye, or Abaye's response to him is, if you have yesh pitam mitchilat sof, then you don't have a problem here, because you have a process rather than a single moment in time. Right, so then you don't have to say that Tfos Lo Shom Rishon is taking place, we're part of it, because the entire Shkita is a much bigger process.
But the
Tzedek
and the Shkita is done at the same time.
Right, so he says, you think that Shkita is only at the end? This is a Abaye's response to Rava. And it's only one thought. Siman Rishon, the first Siman that he's cutting says, Chutzlismano. Sheni, the second Siman, he says, Chutzlim, Kamo. V'amrameyo Savar, Mefaglin, B'chatzi Matir. Siman Echad. You could be Mefagel in half a Matir, or one of the Simanim. So what Abaye is successful at doing by saying that the Shkita Mitchletzof is, that I can give discrete, right, I can have discrete thoughts here. I can have half of the Shkita be for this Machshava, the other half for this. And it's effective, because Rabbi Meir believes you can have a makshava b'chatzi matir. So one makshava by the siman echad, another makshava by the second siman, and it's effective. What you see from Rava's question is that he thinks that the shchita, or the fact that he pushed the question that way, is that ein shchita ala basof. That he believes that there's only shchita at a moment of time. Since there's shchita at a moment of time, that's why you can ask the question of having the chatzi and chatzi machshava. So now, this is what we conclude, this is what the Gemara is after over here, that ein the shkita el abasof, because Rova thinks the dain hi machloket, it's still machloket between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And in addition to that, where we have Rabbi Huda and the Chachamim argue, he questions Abaye's position from there, indicating that ein the shkita el abasof. Because Rava says that the machshava, or the joint machshava, is only effective in a single moment in time, he must hold as ein shkita ela basof. Whereas Abaye, who thinks that it's not a problem, says, no, there's shkita mitchila bat sof. So that's what the Gemara is saying. Let us suggest that the answer to our question about the difference between the ratio of the Braita and the Sefer Braita is within this position of Rava, that there is such a machloket, and there's ein shkita ela basof, and therefore you only have a moment in time where you can have a machshava, and that machshava only has effect on the first thing that you say. There's no room. There's no time for the second thing that you say. So, v'hainu damrin and hacha. This is what Rashi says. This is what we're saying here. Leima kasavri achirim. Let us say that the achirim in the Mishnah say, ein ala shkita ela basof. The shkita is only at the end. V'chol makshevet shkita lo mahanya ela min kein chishev v'gamra. Whatever makshevet you have at that last moment, that's the only thing that matters. Uke derova. That when you have two parts of a thought, or two thoughts, then that's considered to be split into two. And we know Rabbi Meir then holds Ein Shkita L'Basof based on Rava's position. And who are the Acherim? Acherim and Shas are Rabbi Meir. That means that this Braita is authored by Rabbi Meir. And therefore, V'akorchach Idlei Rabbi Meir Ein Shkita L'Basof Acherim and Rabbi Meir Hilkach. Bigmar Shkita in Shaut Omar Shnei Dvarim. The end of Shkita, there's no time to say two things. That is the explanation of the Gemara. It's a long way to get there. Look, the Gemara is simple. You explained it up front. But the question is, what was the Gemara speaking about? So that's the answer. The answer is, we're talking about Rava's position within the Machloket of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. Rava thinks the Machloket persists, even when you have two statements or two half statements. In addition to that, we know Rava thinks that in the Shkita Labasof. So if you put those two together, then you get this outcome where you can only have a momentary thought, and whatever you had thought you have at that moment, that's what matters. So that's the suggestion of the Gemara. Omar Rabo. Rabo is suggests, or the others have the gears over here, the Trovo, but it makes more sense to say it's Rabo. No, the Olam Kasabre Achirim, Yesh L'Shkita Mitchila Biad Sof. Now, we don't have to believe that Rabbi Meir, the Acherim here, believe that the Shkita at the end, it's Mitzchila Vat Sof. He had in mind for both of them. He says, I'm going to say, Ben the Mulim, Ben the Arilim. Whether it's Mulim Arilim, that's what he had in mind to say. He had in mind to say both. But then he only has sufficient time, or he only has time to articulate one of them. So he articulates one of the two. Obviously the first of the two that he has, he articulates. This is the machloket. Rabbi Meir believes what you articulate does not have to match that which you have in mind.
Abanan Savay, Be'inim Piv, Vilibo, Shavim. That whatever you articulate, I have to match what you have in mind, otherwise it's not a good statement. So Rabbi Meir allows you to detach the articulation from what you had in mind. Over here, you had in mind to say both items. In the end, you only articulated one of them. Rabbi Meir says, no problem. You articulated one, that's what you're going to be held accountable for. So if you said Arilim, that's what you're accountable for. If you said Mulin, that's what you're accountable for, even though you had both in mind. But the question is, which do you have in mind first? Because you only articulated one. So whatever you had in mind first, that's the one that you got to articulate. And that's going to be binding according to Rabbi Meir. Chachamim say, no. When you articulate something, it's got to match what you're thinking. It doesn't match what you're thinking, it's ineffective, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have effect. So that'd be the machloket over here. That's why the Achirim and the Braita have the opinion that whatever you say first takes effect. That's the only thing that you did say. You had in mind to say both, but the only thing you did say is that. The Gemara says, because of Rabbi Meir, lo be'in and pib, v'lib bel shavim. So Rabbi Meir really believed that you don't have to have your articulation match what you're thinking. V'aminu. We have a Mishnah that says, ha-mitkaven lomar truma, v'mar maser. He intended to say this produce or whatever is here is truma, and instead he said it's maser. Maser, v'mar truma. He wanted to say maser, and instead he said truma. Oh, she'ini nichnas l'bayit zeh. He's taking a nether that he's not going to go into this house. V'mar lezeh, instead he mentioned another house. She'ini nineh lezeh, he says, I don't want to get hana from this individual. V'mar lezeh, he said another individual. Lo amar klum. He said nothing, adju piv v'libo shavim. Until his articulation matches that which he has in mind. And the assumption being here, this is a Stam Mishnah. Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So Stam Mishnah in Trumot says you have to have Piv Vilibo Shavim. So we see that Rabbi Meir doesn't think that you can separate between the articulation and the thought process. So that can't be the explanation. Ela Amar Abaye. Abaye gives you another alternative. Reisha da Amar Siman Rishon Limulim Vesiman Sheni Af Darilim. In the first statement, he says, by the first siman, when you shecht an animal, there are two simanim that you have to get through, the robe of two simanim. So while he's cutting the first siman, he has makshava for mulin, for those that have a brit milah. By the siman sheni, by the second siman, he says, also for arelim. So now, b'siman sheni, nami, p'tiche bei mulin. In the second siman, p'tiche means to be mixed together. You have arelim and mulim mixed together. So therefore, it's fine. Seifa, on the other hand, the Seifa, they're mine, Simon Rishon Arelim. The first Simon, he says, I'm doing this for those that are Arelim. Simon Sheni is the Mulin. Right, so only the Mulin, or even after the Mulin, it doesn't really matter. The Simon Rishon, Lo P'ticha Bei Mulin. In the first Simon, he never mixed in the Mulin. In the first case, where the first Machshava is about those that have Brit Milah, then he has a single Simon with Brit Milah. The second siman has a mixture of milah and arilim. That means that every siman, he has a thought that is kasher. The first one is milah, totally fine. Second one is milah and arilim, that's also fine. So then you have a fine shechita. The other way around, when he has a makshava of orla first, then in the first siman he only had a makshavet orla. In the second siman, now he has a makshava of orla and milah together. So the first siman, problematic. The second siman, fine. And this is according to Rabbi Meir Letameis, Rabbi Meir Leshitato, which we had just mentioned before again in Rashi, that mifaglim b'chatzi matir. You're allowed to have a makshevet pigul for a chatzi matir, for half of something that allows the animal to be brought as a korban or to be put on the mizbeach. So that's the mifaglim b'chatzi matir, therefore. If you can be mifagel b'chatzi matir, the fact that you had a thought on one siman, a whole thought in one siman just about arilim, that causes you a problem. Whereas the Rabbanon Letamayu, the Rabbanon here argue on the Achirim, argue on the Braita, say, Eim ifaglim b'chatzi matir. You can't have pigul on half a matir. And therefore, until you put together all your thoughts, that's the only thing that's meaningful. Once you put together all your thoughts, then you had a makshev darla, you had a makshev mulin. Doesn't matter which one you had first, doesn't matter which one on each siman. In the end, it turns out you had both thoughts during shechita, and therefore it's not problematic. So the Chachamim are the Shitatam that you could only have pigul with the entire makshava. If that's the case, then having a thought during one siman and a thought during the other siman are not relevant independently. They're only relevant together as a total picture. The total picture is you said arel and you said maho, said mulin and arilin, you're totally fine. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, says you can divide between the portions of a matir. You can have half the matir have one thought and the other half of matir have another thought. So here you had a thought about arelim with one part of the matir, and then you had another thought about arelim and mulin on the other half of the matir. That part that you had a machshava about arelim alone about, that's problematic. That'll be the difference between whether Arilim comes first or Mulim comes first. When Mulim comes first, you have no single part of the Matir that has a thought about Arilim on it alone. Whereas if you have Arilim first, then the first Siman, the first Chatzim Matir, is with Arilim alone, and that's what's problematic. So that's the explanation of that Shita of the Achirim of Rabbi Meir over there. Next Mishnah. Shochet et ha-Pesach al ha-Chametz. One who shechs a Pesach while still in possession of Chametz, over v'lo taseh, he's in violation of the lo taseh v'lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. You may not shech the korban pesach when you have chametz in your possession. But Yehuda mer afatamid. Yehuda says it's not limited to the pesach. It says lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi. Doesn't specify the dam zivchi. There can be any korban. So he says not only does it apply to the korban pesach, it applies to the korban tamid as well. Bishimon omer a pesach ba'arba asar lishma. He brings a pesach on the 14th erev pesach at the zman of pesach l'shem pesach chayav. Then you have a problem because then he brought a kosher korban pesach. He brought it on the 14th erev pesach at the right time and he shechs it at the zman korban pesach. Then he has a problem because it's a kosher korban pesach. Kosher Karban Pesach is now in violation of Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Shelo Lishmo, if in the afternoon he does it L'Shem Shlamim, which makes it into a Posul Karban, Patur. This is Rabbi Shimon Shitato, who says that Shchita She'en Ruya in a Shchita. If you do a Shchita that's inappropriate, it's not anything. It's not even Shchita. Over here, you're doing Shchita L'Shem Shlamim, makes it a Posul Karban. You don't have a Shchita here. If you don't have a Shchita, you can't be in violation of Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi, because you didn't do Shchita. The Shechita is not only is it posel the Korban, it's not even called the Shechita anymore. So the Korban of Pesach, Lo Lishma, we already know, is no good on Ben Arbayim on Erev Pesach. V'shar kol hazvachim, any other Korban, Ben Lishman, Ben Shlo Lishman Patur, whether it's the Shem Pesach, whether it's the Shem Shlamim, on Erev Pesach you are Patur, because he believes that it doesn't have impact on other Korbanot, whereas if you do it B'moed, on Pesach itself, then Lishmo Patur. If you do a Korban of Pesach, L'Shem Pesach, on Pesach itself, then that's a Pasul Korban. Since a Pasul Korban, you're not in violation of Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. On the other hand, if you do it Lo Lishmo, if you do a Pesach L'Shem Shlamim on Pesach, that's effective, because that's a Pesach Shlobo Bizmano. Pesach Shlobo Bizmano turns into a Shlamim, when you make say Shlamim, that's fine. Then you have a good Korban, and you're in violation of Lo Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Then, kol hazvachim, shar kol hazvachim, any other zavach, ben lishman, ben shlo lishman, whether you do lishmo, shlo lishmo, chayav, because there's no problem with the korban. The korban is an effective korban, and therefore, you would be chayav, chutz, min chatat, shachto lo lishma. Except for the chatat, that if you shech the lo lishma, it makes it pasul. Since lo lishmo by chatat makes it pasul, then you have a shchita shein ruya. Any other korban, whether you do it l'shem, korban pesach, we do it shlo lishem, korban pesach, doesn't matter because whether you do lishmo or shalom lishmo, the korban is that the shchita is effective. Question of whether it's oled the balim or not, fine. But in terms of the shchita, it's a fine shchita, and you're chayav there for lo tishchat hachametz dam zivchi. So that's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon's opinion number one is that an erev pesach, it only matters for korban pesach, not for any other korban. And therefore you have to figure out whether you have a kosher korban pesach or you don't have a kosher korban pesach. On pesach itself, then it applies to all korbanot as long as the korban is kasher. There's a violation of Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. Therefore, by Korban of Pesach, that only works when you bring it L'Shem Shlamim, because then it's Kasher. By any other Korban, whether you do it L'Shmo, Shlo L'Shmo, since the Korban is Kasher, therefore you're in violation of Tishchat HaChametz Dam Zivchi. The one exception is Chatat, which like Pesach, if you do it wrong, it doesn't work. So if you do it Chatat L'Shlo L'Shmo, then it's a failure in the Korban, and you don't have Shkita over here. Now the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Shimon Galakish, Olam Inu Chayav. The only chayav for the violation of Tishkat HaChametz Dav Zivchi is Ad Sheyei Chametz L'Shochet or L'Zareik. Who has to own the chametz here for you to be chayav? The Shochet, the one who's doing the Shchita. The Zareik, the one who's doing the Zrikat HaDam. Or the Echad Mibnei HaChabura. Or someone who is a party to this Korban HaPesach. Ad Sheyei Mo Bazara. In addition to that, it has to be present with him in the Azara. So here you have two qualifications that Reish Lakish makes, which is not obvious from the pasuk. Pasuk just says, "Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi." Number one is, sounds like only the one who's doing shchita is in violation of the lav. And that's what the Reish says. Eino chayav here, bala chametz is only chayav, ela ashochet ve'azorek. When the pasuk says, "Lo tishchat al chametz dam zivchi," lo tishchat teaches you shchita, and dam teaches you the Zrikat Adam. So therefore, if you are the Shochet or the Zorek, if the Shochet or the Zorek, or one of the Bnei Chubra owns Chametz, that affects the one who's doing the Shkita, or that affects the one who's doing the Zrika. And in addition to that, the second thing Reish Lakish requires is that he has a present with him inside the Azara. So again, Reish Lakish makes two qualifications. The ownership of the Chametz can be the Shochet, the Zorek, or one of the Bnei Chubra. Again, not obvious from the Pasuk. Number two is that it has to be present with them in the Azara. Rabbi Yochanan agrees with everything except Afupi Sheni Moba Azara. He agrees with Reish Lakish's first statement, but not his second statement, that it has to be present with him. It can be even anywhere. Not in the Azara. As long as he owns it, it's problematic. But my Kamiflagay, what's this machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about? Ilema ba'al b'samuch Kamiflagay, they argue about the definition of the word al. It says, lo tishchat al chametz dav simchi. What does it mean al? B'shimon lo'yochis savar al b'samuch. Al means literally proximate, next to. So that means the shechita is done in the Azara. You got to have the chametz there in the Azara. B'yochan savar lo binan al b'samuch. Al just means together. Together can mean anywhere in the world. As long as you own it and it's happening, that's simultaneous. It doesn't have to be physically proximate. It just has to be that you own it and the shechita is taking place. We already have this makhluk between them, so why do we need it again? It's not, we have a Mishnah. A shuchet toda'a lifnim. He's shechting his toda'a inside the azara. The word here should be belachma chutz lechoma. And the bread that comes with the karban toda'a is not with him in lo kidei shalechem. The lechem does not become kodesh. The way the lechem becomes kodesh is that you take the lechem when you bring it, and you're makdish it to hekdesh. When you're makdish it, that's kedushat damim. You've made the value of the lechem kodesh. In order to take on the full effect of kodesh, to have kedushat aguf, where the item itself becomes inherently kodesh, and you cannot remove it anymore. Plus, it has all the trappings of kodesh, which means that there's psulina, pigol, all these other things take effect on the kodesh. Well, that happens with the shechitat hazevach. When you shech the korban atodah, then it makes, elevates, upgrades the lechem from kedushat tamim to kedushat haguf. So now, the Mishnah says that when you shech the todah, and the lechem is not present, then the lechem is not kodesh. Question is, where was the lechem? My chutz lechoma. Where was the lechem outside the wall? Well, there are two walls that we know about. Inside of Yerushalayim, there are two walls that have meaning. There's the chomot azara, the walls of the azara, and there are chomot Yerushalayim, the walls of Yerushalayim. Which one of these is the Mishnah referring to? When it says the bread's outside the walls, does it mean it was outside the walls of Yerushalayim? Does it mean that the bread was outside the walls of the azara? Well, that's a machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan amar chutz lechomat beit pagi. It's outside the wall of Beit Pagi, which is the furthest reaches of Yerushalayim. It's outside the wall of Yerushalayim. Aval chutz lechomat azara kadish. If it's outside the wall of the azara, it works. Because a todah is kodshim kalim, and the kodshim kalim can be eaten anywhere inside of Yerushalayim. Therefore, the perimeter in which todah is effective in giving dusha to its bread is anywhere inside of Yerushalayim. So as long as the bread's in Yerushalayim, the todah has effect on the breads, because the todah after this will be able to be taken outside of Yerushalayim. Therefore, it has influence, impact on its bread inside of Yerushalayim. Whereas, if the bread is outside of Yerushalayim, it has no longer has an impact. And why is that? Because lo b'inan al b'samuch. We don't require that, literally, the bread be present along with the zevach. Because there, the pasuk says, azevach todat shlamav. That the bread is brought on the zevach todah. What does it mean on the zevach todah? Does that mean that it's proximate to it? Or it just means that it's within the sphere of influence? Well, sphere of influence is anywhere inside of Yerushalayim. That's where todah can be taken. That's where it can be eaten. Whereas Reish Lakish, Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Amar Achilu Chutz Lechomat Azarah. Even if the bread's outside the walls of Zarah, Lo Kaddish, it doesn't work. Alma, Be'inin Al B'Samoch. He requires the bread be proximate. Al, the todat zevach, or the zevach todat shlamav, is literally proximate to it. It has to be physically present within, inside the azara. Where you do shchitat todah? In the azara. That's where you have to have the lechem. So we already have this machloka between them about whether al means literally proximate, physically proximate, or just means that it's at the same time. So that can't be what they're arguing about here. Elo? Patrat safeich kamiflegei. They're arguing about a hatrat, a warning, where we're not definitive about the warning. Because over here, when you tell the individual, don't have any chametz with you. He could have chametz with him, somewhere else. So Rashi claims that when you give him hatra'ah, you can't be certain. When you go give him hatra'ah, you say, make sure you don't own any chametz when you're doing the shechita. And when you give him hatra'ah, you're not sure he owns chametz, because the chametz could be anywhere. Could be here with him present, it could be somewhere else with him. So since you don't know whether he has chametz or not, that by definition is a hatra'at safek. Your warning is a warning that is a safek. You can't tell definitively that he has chametz or not. So you're warning him, don't have chametz. Oh, so David argues, and that's what Tosfot says, because I don't understand. The whole purpose of hatra'ah is to change the individual from being a shogeg and saying he's doing it by accident to a mezid. So what does that mean, change him from a shogeg to a mezid? He says, listen,
Don't murder someone.
Right.
I don't know if he's
going to
murder or not.
Correct. It doesn't matter whether you know he has chametz or not. The whole point is whether he knows he has chametz. You're warning him, don't have chametz, don't own chametz, because then if he does own it, he's doing it on purpose now, and he has a problem. So Tosfot says that's not called hatra'at safek. Rather, the hatra'at safek is, the Tosfot doesn't say this, but the hatra'at safek could be that the hatra'at, the individual himself may not know he has chametz in his possession. Because it's not proximate, it's not physically present with him, it could be somewhere else, and he doesn't realize that he owns the chametz.
I didn't realize
I had the chametz here, so there it's really a hatra'at safek that he gets home, and he figures out that he has the chametz. So that's why it's a hatra'at safek, or he answers on behalf of Rashi, the possibility that the person can deny our hatra'ah, because we don't know for sure he has chametz, therefore he can always deny it. Right, it says, they had this machlokas once before as well. Ditmar. Shvua shochal kikar zuayo. He takes a shvua, he's going to eat this loaf of bread today. And the day goes by and he doesn't eat it. Both of them say he doesn't get makot. Rabbi Yochanan says you don't get makot. Mishum davele lav shein bo maaseh. You took no action. In order to get makot, you have to violate a lotus in the Torah. Here you took a shvua, you're going to be in violation of your shvua. You only do that by being passive. You simply sit around, do nothing. Well, if you're passive in violation of a lotus, you can't get makot. So that's why he doesn't get makot over here. On the other hand, he says, about hatra'at safek, the fact that the hatra'ah here is hatra'at safek, that's not a problem because that's shma hatra'ah. Here, every time you tell him, you better eat the bread, if you don't eat the bread, you're going to be in violation of your shvua. Anytime you tell that to him during the day, he could eat it later. It's not a real hatra'ah. You're not sure that he's not going to eat the bread. You can't say for sure at this moment when you tell him, make sure you eat the bread, because if you don't, you're in violation, because he could eat the bread in the next minute. He could eat it in the next 5 minutes. He could eat it after you say it. So anytime you're warning him, it's not a definitive warning, because he always has more time left in the day. And because of that, it's really a hatra'at safek. Rabbi Yochanan says, hatra'at safek doesn't bother me. What bothers me is that it's a lav she'en bo maaseh. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish amar in lokeh, shum davele hatra'at safek. Shum Lakish says, the problem here is hatra'at safek. Hatra'at safek, lo shmei hatra'at, doesn't work. Av a lav she'en bo maaseh, this fact that it's a lav that has no action to it, loke in a lav, I have no problem, you can be loke here, because it's dibur, and dibur might be enough, shvua might be an exception to the rule, whatever it is, but the machlok between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan as to why you don't get machloket over there, is about a machloket, about whether hatra'at safek is shma hatra, which Rabbi Yochanan says it is a good hatra, and Rabbi Yochanan says it's not a good hatra, it's not a good warning. That type of warning is whether it's effective or not is machloket Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. So why do I need you to tell me the same machloket again? We haven't found out what they're arguing about here about the chametz in the azara. So Gemara says, okay, imre the olam baal samuch kamiflege. They're arguing about whether al means physically present, proximate, or just at that time. Vitzricha, so then, we have the question before. We already have the machloka between them with regards to the korban todah. Where it says we need both of them. Di iflu v'ei le'inyan chametz. If they argue about chametz, hava mina bahu dekama Rabbi Yochanan. That's where Rabbi Yochanan says al does not have to be present, physically present. Do abinan al b'samuk b'shem de iserhu. You're in violation of an isur. V'ho eicha de ite ite. Wherever it is, it is. I mean, the problem here is owning the chametz. It's irrelevant where the chametz is, because it's the ownership that matters. So ownership is irrelevant where the physical chametz is. Aval the inyan mikdash lechem. We're talking about making the lechem into something kodesh. Lo kodesh ela bifnim. That only can be kadosh when it's physically present. So you would have think Rabbi Yochanan would have changed his mind with regards to the karban todah. Ema modile the Rabbi Shimon Lakish, he'll agree to Rabbi Shimon Lakish when it comes to the karban todah. The bein and al b'samuch, he needs to be physically present. Deita gavai kadish, if it's there in the azara, it works. Ilo lo kadish, if it's not there, it doesn't work. Midahava klei sharet, just the way klei sharet work. Rashi says, what does it mean that klei sharet work? Klei sharet are only effective, Rashi says, when you put something into them. So if you put something into them, that's when they work. If you don't put something into them, they don't work. Tosafot says he doesn't think that's a fair comparison, but he says rather, when it says klei sharet, it means that klei sharet are only effective when they're in the azara. Klei sharet outside the azara are not effective. Klei sharet inside the azara are makdish, whatever goes into them. So do you see they're effective only when they're in their place of work, which is the azara. So just like klei sharet are only effective inside the azara, so too, the kiddush alechem should only take place when it's inside the azara. You would think Rabbi Yochanan would agree to Reish Lakish in this case of the Karban Tudah. So tzricha, therefore we need you to tell me that's not the case. Rabbi Yochanan still disagrees by the Karban Tudah. If you only told us the din by the Karban Tudah, about the lechem in Kodesh, havina b'hachkava Rabbi Shimon Lakish. Only there Rabbi Shimon Lakish requires to be in an alba samuch, to be physically present or proximate. Dita gavai kadish, ilo lo kadish. If it's there inside the Azara, it works. If it's not, it doesn't. But the inyan chametz, by a case of chametz, moly the Rabbi Yochanan. By the tushchat, the chametz dam tzuchim, maybe agrees to Rabbi Yochanan. Though being in alba samuch, the isura ho. They were there about a violation of an isur. Wherever it exists, wherever it's present, you're in violation of the isur of the ownership. Tzricha, therefore, it teaches that Reish Lakish disagrees even in that case. So we need both dinim that teach us the same din, which is they argue about whether al means physically present or not, but each one of them has its own chidush, because each one of them is different than the other. The todah, there's reason to believe that you need physical presence because of the nature of kodashim, and by chametz, there's a reason to believe you don't need physical presence because you're talking about an isur, you're talking about the violation of a lotaseh. So since there's reason in both of these cases to think otherwise, we need you to tell us that the machloket exists in both cases. And that's why we have the same machloket brought in two different circumstances, because each circumstance is unique. And we need you to tell us that Rav Yochanan believes the same thing in both, and Reish Lakish believes the same thing in both. Rav Yoshaya asks of Rabbi Yami, "Ein lo l'shochet, yesh lo l'chad mibnei achura mau." If the shochet doesn't have chamet, but one of the parties to the Korban Pesach has it, what's the din? Amar lei, miktiv lo tishchat al chametzcha. Pasuk doesn't say that you can't shecht on your chametz. It says, lo tishchat al chametz, tiv. Just says chametz in the generic form, not in the possessive form. It doesn't have to be your chametz. Amar lei, yihachi, afilu echad besof olam nami. The problem here is chametz, then why, if someone in Timbuktu owns chametz, why aren't you in violation? Lo tishchat al chametz tavzuchiv. You're saying that it's not relevant that this person is shechting the Korban HaPesach, that it be his chametz, it can be anybody's chametz, then why does it have to be even someone who's a party to the Korban HaPesach? It can be anybody who owns chametz. Amalei, Amakra, the Pasuk says, Lo tishchat chametz dam zivchi, velo yalin chalev chagi ad boker. The subsequent Pasuk says, Lo yalin chalev chagi ad boker. Lo tishchat chametz, hanach tekami alei mishum lo yalin. The shechting of the Korban is only in violation when you own chametz, if you are also party to the next part of the pasuk, which is lo yalin, you may not leave over from that till the morning. But who is a party to lo yalin chalev chagi ad boker? That's someone who is an owner of the Korban HaPesach, one who's doing the shkita, or the one who's doing the zrika. They all have relevance with terms of leaving over the korban till the morning. Whether it's leaving over the basar, whether it's leaving over the chalavim, they have relevance in leaving it over to the morning. Since they have relevance of the next part of the pasuk, which is lo yalin chalev chagi ad boker, they also have relevance to lo tishkat chametz dam zivchei. So what the Gemara did was it expanded the definition to say that the chametz here doesn't have to be your chametz, meaning the one who's in the activity now, it doesn't have to be his chametz, but it's not so expansive that it includes any chametz in the world. You're limited to those people who have relevance to the Korban HaPesach. Who has relevance to the Korban HaPesach? Anybody who can be in violation of lo leilin chelev chagi ad boker. Anybody who's leaving over the Korban would have impact. And those are the owners, and the shochet, and the Zareket Adam. Amara Papa, Hilkach. Therefore, Goein Hamaktira Techelev Over Belotase. We can add another person to this picture. Not only do we have Lotishkat, the one who's doing Shkita, not only the one who is Zareket Adam, because it's Lotishkat al Chamez Dam Zivchei, but also the one who's Maktira Techelev. The one who puts the Chalavim, the fats on the Mizbeach, Over Belotase, Hobieshno Beklal al Nat Emurim. Since he has impact on whether the Emurim are left over to the morning or not. Since he has impact in that, his chametz should be relevant, number one. And number two is, he could be in violation. If he's maktir the chalavim, he's in violation of lo tishkat chametz dam zivchei. Tanya kavati de Rapapa, we have a bright that supports Rapapa's position. Ashochet et pesach al chametz. One who shechts a pesach with chametz, over belotase, violates a lotase. Ematai, when's that true? Bizman shu b'shochet, whether the chametz is owned by the one who's doing shchita, or zarek, or the one who's doing zrikat adam, or anybody is a party to the Korban HaPesach. Someone in the end of the world that owns chametz, ain't zakuklo, it's not meaningful. And the shochet, the zarek, and the maktir are the ones who can be in violation of lo tishkat chametz dav zibchi. Aval amoleket of, someone who does melikan the ofer, a basar on the 14th, ain't over below klum. He's not in violation of anything. So what you see from this brayta is, number one, whose chametz is relevant? Only the shochet, the zarek, and the owners of the korban. That's number one. Who can be in violation? Who can be in violation of lo tishkat chametz dav zibchi? The shochet, the zarek, and the maktir. So here the brayta added in the maktir like Rav Papa. So that's what the brayta shows you, that the maktir also can be in violation of this lav if someone owns chametz who's a party to the korban pesach. The brayta also says that malek has no impact. If you're doing malika, now malika is clearly not a korban pesach. Because malika is mikata of. We're clearly not talking about a korban pesach over there. So this person is doing shchita. Rashi claims that it doesn't really matter whether it's melikah on the oaf or whether it's shchita on a behemah. The reason the Gemara Braita brought melikah to oaf is because that's a very common occurrence on Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Because anybody who's mechusar kippurim has to bring their korban in order to bring the korban pesach. We said before there's a dispensation to bring it after the korban tamid in order to bring the korban pesach. Because the asay of pesach is doche the asay of ashlama and allows you to bring the birds. So he says, the reason they mention birds is because that's the most common korban, but not because that's the only way. Even if you did shkita, it's not effective. This is according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that lo tishkat al-chametz dav zechi only applies to korban pesach, doesn't apply to any other korban. He'll be the author of this brayta. V'raminu, we have a problem. We have another brayta that seems to disagree with this, which is, ha-shochet at the pesach al-chametz over below tasei. You shech the korban pesach with chametz, you violate the lo tasei. Rabbi Yehuda omer afatamid. Like in our mission, Rabbi Yehuda says it affects even other korbanot, not just the korban pesach. Amrulo, lo amru ela pesach bilvad. They said to him, no, the pesach's the only thing affected by this love. Eimatai, when is that true? Bizman sheyesh lishochet, olu zorek ol echad mei bnei achabura. That's only if the chametz is owned by the shochet, the one who's doing the shechita, the zorek, the zrikat adam, or the one who is a party to the korban pesach. V'ya echad v'sof olam ein zokuklo. If someone has chametz at the end of the earth, you don't have to worry about him. V'echad ha-shochet, v'echad ha-zorek, v'echad ha-molek, v'echad ha-mazeh chayav. Wait a minute, who can be a violation of the Shkara Chametz, the Zivchi? The Shechet is a rake, which can be at the Korban Pesach. But also the Molek and the Mazeh, which is clearly about a bird, and it's not about a Korban Pesach, they're also Chayav. About Chametz at the Mincha, I know over below Tase, but the one who does Chametz on the Mincha is not over. Now the one who does the Chametz on the Mincha is not in violation of the Lo Tase, because that's not Shkita. It says Lo Tishchat, Chametz Dam Zivchi. Taking off the Chametz, even though it's like Shkita, it's not Shkita. On the other hand, Mblika is considered to be Shechita, and you'll be Chayav. V'amaktirat emurim in over below tase. And the one who brings the emurim also cannot be in violation of the lo tase. So now you have two stiras between these brayta. The first stira is Kasha Mblika Mblika. In the brayta, the first brayta that says Mblika ta'of, no chiyuv for that. And the second brayta that says there is a chiyuv for Mblika ta'of. Number two is, in the first brayta, Kasha Akhtara Akhtara. The first brayta that says Hamaktir is Chayav, for lo tishkat chametz dav zibchi, and the second brayta says the maktir is not chayav. It says litamech. According to your reasoning, tishlach lach hi gufa. The second brayta is internally inconsistent. Diktani lo amru elo pesach bilvad. The brayta says that you're only chayav for lo tishkat chametz dav zibchi about a pesach. V'hadar tani, and then it says echad ha-shochet v'echad ha-zarek v'echad ha-molek v'echad ha-mazeh. Then it comes and all of a sudden mentions other korbanot besides the korban pesach. Ella ha v'ha Rabbi Shimon. Both brightot are authored by Rabbi Shimon, and therefore only Korban Pesach is relevant. On Erev Pesach, nothing else. Melika lo minka lo kasha. Melika is not a problem. Kan ba basar. One is on Erev Pesach. Kan becholo shomoy. On the 14th, on Erev Pesach, Melika has no impact, as Rabbi Shimon says, the din of lo tishkat chametz dam zivchi only affects the Korban Pesach, no other Korban. So Melika is about another Korban. Since it's about another Korban, therefore, doesn't have any impact on Erev Pesach. Kan, Becholo Shomoed. The second bright is talking about Becholo Shomoed. There, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it affects every Korban. Lo Tishkat HaChametz Dav Zechi has effect on all Korban, and therefore Malika is Chayav. Then where it says, Ve'idi, Rabbi Shimon, and Haktara, Haktara, Nami Lo Kasho. They're both Rabbi Shimon, both bright to Rabbi Shimon, and it's not a problem. It's a Machloket Tareim. Ve'idi, the Mekish, Haktara, the Shkita. Ve'ikaban, the Lo Mekish. Some say that there's an Ekish between Haktara and Shkita, meaning that the lo yalin chelav chagi at boker, which is the next pasuk, affects the shchita. So it's because it says lo tishkat chametz dam zibchi. Do I consider the juxtaposition of these psukim to teach me that just like you're chayav shkita, you're also chayav for halanat emirim, for the akhtarat emirim? Or do I not say that? So these are two tanaim in the position of Rabbi Shimon who say, one says yes, one says no. Now both of them agree that lo yalin chel hagiyah boker does have impact because it limits who can own chametz that's going to affect the korban. So they both agree with that. Question is, do you take the next step and say that even that lo yalin chel hagiyah boker tells you who's going to be chayav as well? So one says yes, one says no. And that is how we explain the difference between the two brayta. So they're both authored by Rabbi Shimon. The first brayta is on Erev Pesach. Since it's on Erev Pesach, Malika is not effective. It doesn't matter. And that's why he says it. Haktorah does matter because that Tana thinks that Rabbi Shimon matches up between Lo Yalin Chevil Hag Yavokah to Lo Tishkat HaChametz Tav Zivchi. The second brayta is also Rabbi Shimon. But the first half of the brayta is talking about an Erev Pesach. That's where he says, only thing that's affected is Pesach Bilvad. The second half of the brayta that says it affects Malika and it does not affect Haktorah is on Cholosho Moed. Cholosho Moed, Rabbi Shimon says Malika is effective. Why doesn't it affect Haktorah? This Tana believes Rabbi Shimon does not connect between Lo Tishkat HaChametz Tav Zivchi to Lo Yalin Chelav Hagi Ad Boker. Okay, we'll stop here.